Welcome back, everybody. We hope you enjoyed your lunch. I hope you had a chance to visit the exhibitors and vendors in the lobby. And so, again, if there's anybody out in the lobby, come on in. Now's the time to come back in. Okay, as we take our seats, I want to acknowledge some more of our sponsors and partners I had not mentioned earlier who made this event possible. Among those are our Platinum Pyramid and Gold Eagle sponsors. We have Cardenas Markets, Southern California Edison, and University of Phoenix. Among those of our Silver Sunstone and Bronze Shield sponsors are the USDA Hispanic Serving Institutions National Program, Arizona State University, Mary Lou Fulton Teachers College, ACT, Cal Poly Pomona, Alvarez Lincoln Mercury Company, Antelope Valley Chevrolet, Avid, the University of Laverne, TIAA CREF, Teachers Insurance and Annuity Association, the San Bernardino County Superintendent of Schools, Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, San Bernardino City Unified School District, and Cambridge College. So gracias, thank you all. Okay, it's my pleasure now to introduce Cecilia Ornelas. Cecilia is a faculty development campus leader and English instructor in the General Education Department at Westwood College and a doctoral candidate in the Educational Leadership Program at CSUSB. This session is part of our new partnership that LEAD has now with the Latino initiatives coming out of public broadcasting. We want to thank Neida Martinez, the consultant we've been working with Latino Americans. She worked closely with us to make this session possible. So, Cecilia, ahí te va.
Hello, good afternoon, and thank you very much for inviting me to introduce this afternoon's plenary. This afternoon plenary is titled Beyond the Broadcast of PBS Latino Americans, a Public Engagement and Education Campaign. Okay, so, this documentary, Latino Americans, is a series produced by WIDA Washington, D.C., Bosch & Company, and Latino Public Broadcasting. This will air nationwide on PBS in the fall of 2013. This is a three-part, six-series, which will narrate the story of Latin Americans from 1800 to the 21st century. And they're gonna be starting with the English and Spanish colonies, followed with a survey of milestones in Latin American history. The series will intersect with much that is central to the history of the United States, such as the multiple wars, the Great Depression, and of course the Civil Rights Movement. Latin Americans will also go to places where standard United States histories do not tread on. So this is going to be driven by, these are driven by human dramas of individual struggles and triumphs, successes and disappointments, people whose stories would tell us much about their times and lives. Members of the production team will discuss the many perspectives brought to the creation of the series. The collective's experiences spans filmmaking around the world for news, documentaries, and feature films. An individual on the team will have their work recognized with George Foster Peabody Awards, Imagine Awards, Emmy Awards, Christopher Awards, Eric Barnow Awards, and NCLR ALMA Outstanding Career Achievement Award. The panelists will share the unfolding major public engagement and education campaign, the corresponding bilingual website with user-generated digital content, social media platforms, and the development and distribution of school-based curriculum. So before we have our panelists and our panelists here, we have Tony Gomez, we've got Ray Tellez, we've got Moctezuma Esparza, and our moderator, Cesar Caballero. So before our panelists come up and speak, we'd like to see a video first.
In the 1940s, in Delano, California, as in most American towns, people lived segregated lives. even at the local movie house, where whites sat in the middle and everyone else sat on the sides. Then one day, things changed.
In 1946, there was a young guy by the name of Sisi. He was a Pachuco, he was a Zutu, who went out to the Navy, came back, put on his civvies, and went to the movies. And since he was serving his country, he felt that he had a right to sit wherever he wanted, so he came and sat in the middle. He wouldn't move, so the police arrested him. There was no law that said you couldn't sit in the middle. So they couldn't charge him with anything. And he was serving the peace, he was pretty peaceful. So they drove him for a couple hours and then released him. And everybody noticed. They said, hey, CC got away with it. He was sat in the middle. So the following week, everybody sat in the middle section. And the town movie house was desegregated. And that happened across the entire valley. Some 20 years later, when I told my mom I was going back to Delano to work with the union, she says, oh, you're going to work with CC. And I said, CC? Is that office still around? And she said, mijo, don't you know who CC is? He says, I tell us.
In the 1960s, Cesar Chavez would become the most significant Mexican-American leader of his generation. He would join forces with Dolores Huerta to champion the human rights of some of America's poorest workers.
The workers were literally like slaves. The living conditions were horrendous, and the children were barefoot. And I thought, well, this is so wrong.
Their success would ignite a movement challenging a long history of prejudice and injustice. In East Los Angeles, a high school teacher led the largest student walkout in history, risking his own freedom to give Mexican-American students a chance at a quality education.
It was a risk, it was a gamble, but the gamble would have to be taken. We're trying to make schools better, trying to make the country better.
In Crystal City, Texas, a graduate student founded a political party, transforming centuries of oppression into ethnic power.
Reckless, yes. Dangerous, extremely. I didn't pay off, damn right.
And in San Antonio, a young athlete brought millions of Mexican Americans who had never voted to the polls, eventually doubling the number of Latinos elected to political office.
Because of his will, his sheer will, we became a part of the American system.
During the 1960s and 70s, a whole generation of Mexican-Americans discovered a new sense of pride as they fought for equality and challenged America to accept them on their own terms.
Latino Americans, there you have it, a couple of clips from the series. I don't know about y'all and the audience and on the panel, but I was reminded of a lot of the history of the Chicano movement of the 60s. But to get the conversation going, let me ask Tony. Tony, what do you think this series is about, and what are the concepts that are included in it?
Thanks, Cesar. And first, let me just say on behalf of WIDA Public Television and the PBS system, thank you for the opportunity to partner with LEAD. Thank you to the organizers of LEAD for the opportunity to be here. This is really special for us and for me personally, being an educator who works in the public television system, because the concepts behind this program are to further put in the larger public consciousness the story of who we are as Latino Americans. What does that mean to be Latino and American? Those two words kind of occupying. And I say that realizing completely that as a community, we debate the terms we use to talk about ourselves a lot. And so I'll just put that semantic discussion aside for 1 second, just to say that we're wonderful communities, and we're really complicated communities in the sense that we have many, many different stories to share. And some of those stories relate to this area where we're where we're sitting right now, and that there's centuries of history in these stories. And some of these stories connect to New York and movement out of the Caribbean to New York or to Florida, or the movement of Mexicanos to Chicago in the first part of the 20th century. There's a number of different stories, and they boil down to the story of, you know, what's going to happen with Latino school children that are sitting in class, you know, this at this very time. So the idea behind this series is to elaborate a little bit on these stories of Latinidad, of you know, being Latino in the United States. And some of the stories we're going to recognize and we're going to find familiar, and some of the stories are going to challenge us because they're going to be incredibly different from our own experience. Because again, as Latinos, we can be kind of complicated. And I'm going to see if I can bring up a couple slides here. If I could cue the PowerPoint. So actually, I'll go back one. So some basic information about this series. Latino Americans is a six-part series that will run over three nights, so three nights of two-hour blocks during prime time in the fall of 2013. And it'll run across the PBS system. So depending on, you know, where you get your public television in your area, that's where you'll find this series. Beyond that, the idea behind the program is to generate some public discussion, and that is among Latinos, but also among non-Latinos, about who we are and how can we challenge the perception that this is a thing that's only as recent as the headlines of the fall elections of 2012. On the contrary, these are stories that have deep roots that are as old as the country itself, and in many cases older. So how do we bring that into the public discussion? Hopefully this program will be a springboard to do that. So in addition to the broadcast, there will be a comprehensive set of resources online, including maps, timelines, photo archives, things like that, as well as educational curricula for grades 4 through college age. And then there will also be, as Cecilio mentioned earlier, a lot of content that people can share in and contribute to through social media and through digital storytelling, similar to what, if any of you are familiar with StoryCorps from NPR. And then there will be a handful of stations around the country that also receive additional grants to conduct further activities in their own communities, whether those are screening events, panel discussions, teacher trainings with the curricula that are being developed. It's really up to those communities to craft, you know, what they'll want to see in connection with this series. So just really briefly, I'll share with you the themes for the series. Oh, first off, I just have to do this because my own family is Latino and complicated, and so I want to share some of that complicated identity with you. So this is a game I like to play with some of my students. It's called Name That Latino. All right, so take a look, and let's, which of those individuals are Latino? Let's see, start with the one on the left. Give me a thumbs up or thumbs down. What do you think? Moving across, I can hear people say all of them. You're absolutely right. All of the people on the screen are Latino. And the crazy part is half of them are related to me. I'm Mexican and Italian, but my wife is Panamanian and Cuban. And so, so we really argue a lot about how to make the tamales at home.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Tony.
So, just very briefly, the series, as I mentioned, has six parts. The first episode looks at the time period between 1800 and 1880. So it looks at the points of intersection and conflict between the Spanish and Europe and Spanish and English colonial systems, as well as the intersection and conflict between European colonialists and indigenous societies. Just as an acknowledgement, of course, there are elements of the Latino story that reach well, you know, much earlier than where this series picks up, but we have to start somewhere, and hopefully this will be a chance for someone to do another production down the road. The second episode looks at, you know, what happens after the independence of Texas and the war with Mexico, and what happens when when so many people who were at one point citizens of Mexico overnight become citizens of the United States. And furthermore, what happens as there's westward expansion of the United States across North America. And it's these first two episodes set up some themes that continue throughout the series that ask questions of identity. Who are we in terms of, you know, our duality as people who have reference points or have feet on, you know, in two different places at the same time, whether we're talking about nations of origin, language, culture, all those different topics, and also what happens in a political system where there is a clear structure that's established and conflict that's happening as the predominantly Anglo system of the United States is set up in the West. The second episode also looks at some of the earliest connections from Cuba, including the exile of José Martí, and the Spanish-American War, the arrival of the first large migrations of Puerto Ricans into the area of New York, and the migration from Mexico during the Mexican Revolution. The third episode looks specifically at World War II, Latino contributions to World War II, and the aftermath of those contributions. And we got a little taste of it in the preview with Cesar Chavez, who went off to serve his country, and upon returning, did not want to accept the idea that he would have a second-class citizenship in a country that he had sacrificed for. So it also explores those critical years of Latino civil rights in the post-war era and the establishment of the GI Forum and other organizations. And then episode four looks at the further establishment of Puerto Ricans in New York, and a lot of that showed up in popular culture with things like West Side Story and the Mambo craze and things like that. But it also explores the arrival of the Cubans in the late 1950s and early 1960s to Florida, a very different experience of becoming part of the mix in the United States. Finally, episode five, from which you saw the clip, is focused specifically on the Chicano movement. It spends a lot of time in California and Texas, also a little bit in New Mexico, and follows the United Farm Workers, but also follows the organizing that happened in South Texas and the student activism here in California, in Southern California, and we're very honored to have Moctezuma with us. And then finally, episode six, which Ray will be able to tell you more about, looks at the period from 1980 through the present. It looks at the growing kind of demographic boom of the Latino community. It looks at issues of English-only legislation and anti-immigration legislation that's happened in a number of states over the past 30 years. And it also looks at the immigration activism of the early 21st century.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Tony. Ray, I understand that you were the creator of this PBS series, Latino Americans. Why is this series so important to the Latino community?
Well, I want to clarify that I was not the creator.
Oh, you were not? Okay. No, I'm giving him a lot of credit then.
I'm one of the producers.
All right. However, thank you. I stand corrected. Thank you.
However, nearly 25 years ago, I tried to get a series off the ground like this. I think Jesus Trevino tried it. I don't know, Moctezuma, did you try also? A number of us tried to get a series like this. It was actually a six-hour series off the ground, and we couldn't get it funded. The one monumental series that did get funded was Chicano, and that was in the mid-90s. So I can't take credit. I can take credit for the idea, but I didn't create this one. But I was involved in this as a producer to show number six and as a consultant on some of the other ones. But, you know, if there ever was a time for a series to come out like this one, this is it. You know, this is the time. And look at the numbers. You know, if you look at the numbers that we have now, I think one of the numbers that was quoted earlier, and I'll quote again, is that right now we have 51 million Latinos, nearly one-sixth of the population. By mid-century, the estimates are that we're going to have 127 million Latinos in the U.S. a third of the population, you know, and yet we don't see ourselves in we're starting to see ourselves represented in Congress, perhaps. We don't see ourselves on screen. We don't see ourselves in a lot of different places. But we're also at a point right now at a point where, depending on how things are handled in this country and how we move ahead, it's going to make a big difference. And one of the key factors here is education, and we deal with that in show number six. We deal with issues of immigration, and then we deal with the issue of what are we going to do with all the youngsters? Because right now, you know, the median age is 26 of Latinos. So the future of this country and the future of Latinos, but the importance of the Latino moment right now is so important that this show brings up the importance of what's going to happen with our community and how we handle, you know, not just in Washington, whether these, you know, legislation passes, but how we and you all as educators handle all the youngsters that are coming up is going to make the major difference in how, whether Latinos advance or not. You know, you've got big numbers, but now we got to educate them.
Thank you. Now, a question for Moctezuma. From your perspective as someone who was involved in the student walkouts in Los Angeles, what impact do you think this series will have on a new generation of Latinos?
I don't know, because I haven't seen it yet, but let me express my hope. Okay. My hope is that it becomes a very powerful tool for educators to share with students some of who they are and their background and the work, the effort, the blood, the tears that have been shed by their ancestors to bring them to this moment. So we all have ancestors, and we're all standing on the shoulders of incredible giants. You know, our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, who have all struggled and who all gave everything they could of their lives so that we could reach this moment. And to the extent that this six-hour series can tell that story, or some part of it, then I think it can be a very powerful tool for educators and a very useful touchstone for our young people to have a sense of where they've come from.
Muchas gracias. Un aplauso. Very well said. Question for the panel. How can educators make use of the series as an educational tool that was suggested by Moctezuma?
So I'm so glad you asked. So we're going to, my role actually is, I come from a K-12 education background, and what we're going to be doing is developing a series of lessons and resources that will be free and online that will go hand in hand with the series, because the whole idea is we don't want the energy to end with the broadcast. The broadcast is a passing moment. We want the series to have an impact long beyond that through materials that will be made available for teachers. So we're in the process with a group of curriculum writers to develop content that can be used in the classroom and that is standards aligned with the Common Core and with certain state standards as well, so that teachers are in a position to use this content in their classrooms, and it's easily accessible for them, particularly given the pressures that are on teachers right now to adhere to very prescribed curricula. We want to make this, you know, as easy as possible. And I want to share kind of a personal story in terms of, you know, what can the impact of this series be to tell these stories, to share this history that's out there. I was a straight-up nerd, history nerd in high school, and I loved history class. I took U.S. history in high school and got a 5 on the AP. I was feeling pretty good about it. I knew nothing about the stories of my own community or other Latino communities around the country. It wasn't until much later that I found out those stories. I don't want the current generation of students to have to wait and find those stories on their own. We want the students to be able to experience those stories as for what they are, which is part of the tapestry of what American identity is and what it means to contribute to the society, because that's exactly what we're talking about when we talk about the history of Latino Americans. We're talking about things that, you know, as Moctezuma referenced, that our parents did, that our grandparents did, that have helped to improve what this country is about when it comes to walking its talk.
Thank you. I have a general question, kind of a two-part question, kind of to finish off the questions here. Who should view the series and why, and is this series Latino Americans also of interest to non-Latinos? Who would like to answer that?
Right? This is American history. I mean, everybody should watch it. I mean, this is American history told by Latinos, and this is a part of history that belongs to everybody. So I think that everybody in the country should watch it, and everybody in other countries should watch it, because these are untold stories. These are untold stories, and it's also in this series, we try to give context. We have wonderful advisors on this show, and what we come to realize is a lot of the material that we get, a lot of the information that we get in the media is old stuff. So for example, we talked to Marta Tienda, a leading sociologist, a demographer from Princeton. The research that she was doing 5, 6, 7 years ago is only now coming out, right? Only now are we finding out that the migration from Mexico to the United States is basically at some zero. They had those figures 6 years ago, but we're only hearing about them now. So part of the series is to kind of demystify and do some good reporting and good journalism to bring the truth as to what is happening, what has happened in the past and what is happening now. So it's everybody should watch it if you want to find out where this country is going.
Thank you. Okay, we've come to that time. Are there any final comments from the panelists regarding the series and any thoughts that you may have to share with the audience? Ray, you seem like you want to say something.
No, I'd like to hear from the audience.
Okay. Then it's time to ask questions, take questions from the audience.
Yes, I actually have a question. This is from myself, because we reported on this last year on our entertainment segment about this PBS documentary. And you have a documentary that focuses on the Latino story, important milestones in Latino American history, a story you would expect to be approached by a creative Latino team, but yet it was announced by PBS that they could not find a qualified Latino director. What ended up happening for that, and what could be done perhaps to bring that in the future, a Latino director, to help tell the story? And do you think perhaps the story could have been told by a Latino director better?
It's a little complicated, but I'll try to make it real simple. And this is kind of insider stuff. First of all, I'm a producer, director, and a writer. So in my segment, I produced and directed that hour. And each one of the producers and directors did their own hour. So what they were talking about was a director of recreations. So there were recreations in it. They hired a British director originally and then brought on a Latina director, Sonia Fritz, when all this happened. And I think it was, you know, it's part of it's semantics and part of it was a mistake that was made early on. So there are qualified, there's a lot of qualified directors, and there was a misstep early on. But just to clarify, in documentary, we're producer directors, we directed them. We're not getting screen credit because that has to do with Writers Guild and Directors Guild and that kind of thing. But that's there are many wonderful directors.
Thank you for your question. Thank you for your question. Thank you for the answer. We have another question over here.
Yes, as an educator for the San Bernardino City Unified School District, who spends an enormous amount of her own paycheck, which is kind of small anyway, on my own classroom, my question is, how are you going to facilitate providing this documentary to educators such as myself?
So if I could ask if our PowerPoint could come back up. I have some contact information for you. The first step is, I'm gonna ask, how many teachers are in the audience today? All right, so teachers, here's the URL for you. It's called pbslearningmedia.org. This is a new digital collection with tens of thousands of assets from PBS, series from American Experience, Nova, all kinds of content. All of the curricula for Latino Americans will be on PBS Learning Media. And then also, as you'll see here, there's two names that I want you to be familiar with. It's going to be up to you to contact the stations in your area and let them know. Don't let them broadcast this without knowing that you're interested in seeing more content connected to this program in your communities, that you want to see a screening or a teacher training or something. Contact your local PBS station, and then you can also contact the production directly through this email, latinospbs@gmail.com, and two people will be checking it, Neda Martinez, who is coordinating the national community engagement effort, and myself, who I'm working on the educational content. So in particular, I would love to speak with educators via email and after this session.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. Any other questions from the audience? Yes, sir.
Yes, yeah, as a student, I wanted to know what would be the benefits and the uses for this documentary in order for general members of the public to have a more cultural understanding, a multicultural understanding, not just of Latino culture, but all over general American culture in the United States.
Thank you for your comment. Thank you. Did anyone want to follow up with that comment? All right, thank you. Another question or comment from the floor?
Yeah, I'm a news junkie, so I watch all the, I watch PBS, I watch CNN, I watch MSNBC, I watch George Stephanopoulos, I watch Meet the Press, sometimes I watch Al Jazeera, and about once a year I watch Fox News. When I need a laugh. But the question I have is, on all those programs, there are very, very few Latino faces, very, very few Latino so-called experts that even when it comes to issues that pertain to Latinos, a lot of times it'll be non-Latinos who are the guests. And so I'm wondering if anyone on the panel would make a comment about that, and is there anything that we can work on to get more of our people on those programs? We're, you know, emerging political power, but as you mentioned, we're almost invisible.
Do you care to answer that?
There is a tremendous lack, absence of our presence in front and behind the camera. Not just at PBS, but in all of entertainment. This is just the way it is right now. And it's really incumbent on each of you, on all of us, individually, to do something about it. For us to complain and bemoan the fact that we're not included puts us into the position of perpetuating our victimhood, perpetuating the notion that we have no power, perpetuating the notion that we have to petition and make requests to get what is ours. That means that you have to do something about it individually. You need to let your voices be heard. PBS is awful. All right, let me say it up front. PBS has an atrocious record with Latinos. I gave up trying to work with PBS 20 years ago. It was easier for me to work in the commercial world, and where I've had a very good career, and I've managed to do a great deal, than to try to work with PBS. And I admire deeply those like Ray and Jesus Treviño and others who did manage to make and have made a career working there, because they have got more patience than I have.
So that's why they put him on this side of the table. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Moctezuma. That was an excellent comment. I believe we have a question from our viewers.
Yes, from Aragade, the question is, on the Common Core, how feasible do you think it will be to integrate this into the new Common Core standards?
So we're going to start with the Language Arts English Common Core standards and look at writing in particular, so that the lessons that we're developing will allow students to develop the writing skills they need as part of Common Core, and in the process use the content of Latino Americans as, you know, what they're writing about. So that's one very simple example.
Thank you. One question from the floor.
Are there any plans to do the prehistory? Because there are thousands of years of history prior to 1800.
I don't know. They may be in the works. I don't know. But let me just remind you all, this is one little piece. This is one six-hour series. There is so much more to do. There's this, what you're proposing is wonderful. There's so many stories that are untold. And like Moctezuma said, it's up to you. It's all up to all of us to get our stories out there. But it means that we have to work at it. We have to, I and people my generation, we have to mentor and work with other emerging filmmakers and with students. And it's up to you guys to demand from PBS, from the networks, that you be represented. This is the first time that there's ever been a Latino series. And WIDA finally woke up to it. They turned around, they'd done Jews in America, they'd done Pilgrims in America, they'd done everything, and finally realized, oh, gee, we haven't done Latinos, I guess we should do Latinos. You know, it's that kind of thing. And fortunately, you know, they collaborated with LPB, and LPB reminded them, make sure you have Latinos on your staff doing this, because they were liable to take off and do it without Latinos. But this is like a one-time event, but I agree, there's many, many other stories that need to be told. And I think Moctezuma made a smart choice by leaving PBS years ago. I have one foot in and one foot out, because I lose patience with PBS. This one I was hired to do. I mean, I came on as a producer, but I would not have the patience, could not make a career at PBS, believe me, right now. I work, you know, I'm a hired gun. I develop my own films. I work for ABC and NBC and the networks, and even they do more programming sometimes than PBS.
I guess that means it may be up to the new generation.
It is up to the new generation, yeah.
Yeah, some of us are kind of like, okay, thank you.
I'll just jump in as a kind of devil's advocate on that, because I also am frustrated with PBS and many of its missteps, and
another
I'm part of a small,
person.
You know, I mean, I'm part of a small number of Latinos that work in the PBS system. But I also want to share the fact that I grew up on PBS. I learned to read because I watched Sesame Street. I learned to be compassionate because I watched Mr. Rogers. And, those programs make a difference. When you have parents that are working all the time and you're growing up with your TV, it sure was nice to have some of those programs. Is this an organization that has made missteps? Yes. But at the same time, it's an organization that has brought, you know, the stellar children's programming, brought programs like when I was a kid, I don't know if how many people remember like Via Alegre, first bilingual children's program with national distribution.
I was the producer of that show.
How about that?
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Thank you for the comment. Thank you for the other comment. We have time for one more question. Go ahead, ma'am.
My name is Erica Delgado. I'm Fader Leader for San Bernardino. And this is my first year. I'm so excited because I learned a lot of things from the representatives. And my question is, what happened in the future? What's the next step to me? I'm very interested to learn and maybe see each one to try to help other parents to the students be graduate from Cal State and going to professional.
Thank you for the question. What is the next step that we can take to assist students to graduate from Cal State? Yes. Well, I can tell you, go ahead. Would you like to respond? Our president would like to respond. Thank you.
Yay!
All right. Thank you. So much the better.
Well, you know, learning takes place both in and outside of the classroom. And here you have panels of dedicated and experienced professionals and educators and artists who come without remuneration to share their experiences. And I know that the Latino students here, both students in the P-12 community and college students, are learning, as I'm learning, about the different aspects of the Latino experience. We're dedicated at Cal State San Bernardino to, as I said earlier, to connect with the community and to deploy our students into the community for service. You know, when you're a Latino and you're in higher education, you are privileged, and therefore you have to give back to your community. So I just want to thank all of the panelists for, you know, their commitment to coming out here and teaching us about their own work. And I have a question for Montezuma. You are really an elder in this business. I don't know much about this business, but I resonate with the question that was asked earlier about the fact that there aren't too many Latino faces. So let's have a courageous conversation or answer. Mm-hmm. What are the issues? What prevents the PBS or the major broadcast companies from the courage of identifying, cultivating, training Latino journalists and Latino presenters on TV and cable and so forth?
That's a good question.
What prevents it is us. Okay, we're responsible. All right, again, I'm not going to be in the business of accusing other people for our lack of action on our own part. Right, because that doesn't accomplish anything. Okay? We are responsible for our situation. We are no longer under a gun or under a heel. We are no longer being denied access to education. We are no longer in a position where we can say there are no elected officials, there is no middle class, there is no money in our community. We have those things now. And having those things, we now must take power in our own lives, in our own community, and demand by action what we want to happen in our lives. That's what's missing. My understanding is that this conference is designed to inspire and assist and promote educators to have Latinos achieve education, to graduate from college, and to have careers. Well, we're going to do that by demanding rigor from them, by demanding and changing the thought processes that allow education to not have the priority in our lives that it has in other communities' lives. These are conversations. These are conversations that we have to have with each other to be courageous and to look at what are the deficiencies in our culture, in our practices, in our community, how we look and support each other, and to be courageous about acknowledging and looking at it and taking steps to do something about it, to transform it, to take a new stand.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. It is time to wrap up the session. Boy, we may have to continue this session another time. We would like to thank all of the panelists, the audience, and of course, all our viewers for their participation. Thank you very much.
It went by fast.
Órale, that was great. Let's get another round of applause. Come on. Hey, I grew up watching PBS too. What can we say? Right? It makes a difference. It makes an impact on our lives. So I'm excited for this partnership we have with PBS, and we'll make sure to send you information as it becomes available. Right? So before I forget, I want to, earlier we recognized you, but our padrinos from our Feria Educativa, Graciano and Trini Gomez, could you stand up so we can acknowledge you? Thank you for making it. Okay. We got a special request here. Unos saludos a María Belém en Coachella. Ahí está. Saludos, María. Y Clemente Valenzuela en Durango. We're watching this from Durango, Mexico. So I thought, okay, we need a couple of minutes to switch. So we're going to ask our panelists to step down stage right. And Aaron, over to you.
Thank you. Wow, that was a very powerful segment there, the whole panel. I mean, whew, PBS is going to be like shaking in their boots right now.
Well, I have to say, it's a very poignant topic. I mean, that's always been a concern, that there's so much Latino talent, and yet we're not seeing them enough in front of the camera or behind the camera. I'm sorry, I'm going to say one more thing. And I think my concern is, yes, it's up to us, and yes, we have more power, but it's really down to executives. And executives are the ones that are doing the hiring, and that's not happening.
Then we need some executives right here. When are you going to apply for the job? Again, and it's true, we're talking about education and inspiring, so how can we move forward? And, you know, so much is true and being said about that. In fact, I want to see if we can pull Moctezuma Esparza. And as you know, he was a producer of Selena, one of my favorite movies, definitely in my collection. Bitty Bitty Bom Bom and all the rest.
Okay, let's stop there.
I'm just saying, I'm getting ready for this party, right? Right? Everybody knows. So let's pull him. Old friends are saying hello. And again, please follow us on Facebook and Twitter, Lead Projects, and follow us in hashtag Aaron M. Sanchez, Kelly B. Dolan. Actually, get us on Twitter. And then hashtag LEAD2013, and let us have your voice added to this big event that we have. Now we have, how are you doing? Moctezuma, good to see you again.
Hi.
Come on over here. Now, Moctezuma, you raised a lot of eyebrows with what you said, which was all fantastic. Some people say, you know, again, executives are making the decisions. So when you have executives making decisions and pulling the strings, what power do we have then to be able to say, okay, this is what I at least can do?
Well, and we're talking about this series in PBS, or you're talking about...
We're just talking the entertainment industry all abroad. You've helped Selena come out. You're helping, Fixing Paco coming out.
I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. I'm creating that one for you. Oh, no, Taco Shop. Paco and Taco Shop. Okay, same thing. No, but help me out. You know, there are so many barriers, so what can we each do?
Everybody has the power of their pocketbook. They have the power of where they choose to attend or not attend, right? So if there is a movie, if there is an artist, and you believe in them, you support them. You go and show up. It's the key. You've got to show up, right? If you think that something isn't right, then you've got to write a letter. You've got to make a phone call. You have to show up and make your presence known. You have to take personal responsibility and be the change that you want, right? If you want a different world, then you have to be that change. You have to take that stand in your own life, in the actions that you take, right? I'm surprised and shocked that my words should be so controversial. ¿Verdad? La verdad no peca, pero incomoda.
And yet, you know, this is the thing we constantly kind of bombard with the critics and the action. You know, we look at such great names that have gone out there and created their own movies and their own things. When you get these challenges brought to you, and I'm sure they come up even with your background, what do you tell yourself and what do you tell your family to keep them going?
The only thing that I have is the example of my life. And I have had failures, and I have had successes. And what I tell them is that I own my failures. They're mine. I'm jealous about them. Because my failures is what I use to learn how I'm going to take a new step to succeed. The failures of my life are the platform of my success. And if I try to do something, then I don't own it. I don't try to do anything. I either do or I don't. I succeed or I fail. And if I fail, I own it. It's mine. And then I continue until I succeed.
Wow. Give him a hand. Thank you. That was just supposed to be a little interview. I'm very inspired. Thank you so very much for being here and sharing your vision.
Thank you.
Again, you are watching Latino Education Advocacy Days 2013. Whew, what do you think about that? He pretty much just...
Well, I was a little concerned for you.
I know. I was...
I was standing there prepared in the event that you needed some assistance.
I was about to faint there. That was so... Well, okay, on to our next panel. Some very interesting education.